football on Off the Ball.
When we're at this low ebb, I think we need, to be honest, not just an Irish manager, but like some legend who's achieved something.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
And you're welcome to episode 98 of the Racing Pod on Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every week, folks, with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews, a bit of crack as well sometimes. Reminder as well, the full Off the Ball Racing Pod is now free, folks, wherever you get your pods. Johnny, how are you?
I'm great, JD. It's been a phenomenal week weather-wise and would put you sort of in good form, enjoying the autumn and all that. But I was just commenting on you before we came on air that it's left the ground, like proper summer ground at Ascot for the finale of the flat in Britain, which we don't normally get. And this weekend is just, it's really phenomenal racing across the two countries. And by a long stretch, Ascot is the best of it. But yeah, if you're a racing fan, it's great stuff this weekend.
Last Sunday, Gavin Cromwell, the William Hill ambassador and Gold Cup winning trainer, went to the Czech Republic and he trained the first ever Irish winner of the Velká Pardubicka, the famous cross-country race, first run in 1874 with a horse called Stumptown, Keith Dunhue, the Furze Bush Syndicate. What a win.
Yeah, I happened to be interviewing Gavin this week for the Irish Racing Yearbook, and I was talking to him about it, and I think he was overcome by the reaction as well, because he was in Punchestown on the Monday, was it, and everyone was coming up to him. And I was actually racing in Mallow on Sunday, and I left early and I was going out. Harry Swan was on his phone and he was like, oh, wanted to watch the big race in Czech. And I think a lot of people really cottoned onto it, because in many ways it's like, I suppose it's a bit more like the cross-country race at Cheltenham, but it's kind of what the Grand National should be in some respects. It's a proper, proper tough jumping challenges for the horse and for the jockey. And Keith Dunhue obviously shone, because Keith Dunhue, like the likes of Paul Carby, would have come through the Ward Union hunt, and neither of us has ever hunted. I hunt, punt and ski when the going is right, as Del Boy once told the posh lady in Only Fools and Horse. I don't think either you or I, JD, are ever going to be hunters, but I'd imagine it's an incredible buzz. But I think when you hunt and then you turn into a professional jumps jockey, it changes you have a slightly different makeup, and I think your stickability and your ability to deal with kind of a mad course like the one in Czechia is accentuated. And Keith Dunhue, who not that long ago was on the verge of retirement because of his weight, it was a brilliant achievement. And Gavin has gone from there. When I rang him, he was getting a flight to the States for Far Hills, because Paul Burns' Ballysacks Hank is running in the American National tomorrow, in which he'll take on two horses trained over the road by Gordon Elliott.
Has Ewick won this race before, the American Grand
National? Was it the national or the hurdle race he won? Maybe it was the national, actually. I know Hewick was back in winning action yesterday. He won a big race in the States. I should know this. And I know the American National is kind of almost like a glorified hurdle race. It might have been this race he won. It's become a target for Irish trainers. And even though Gavin's horse, Ballysacks Hank, strictly has a good bit to find with Zanahir and Field Door, I think he seems to be quite hopeful of his chance. Eight runners as well. I think you will be able to bet on it, and it's like sort of 8:45, I think, Irish time tomorrow.
So this is Champions Day then at Ascot on Saturday. So many Group One races. Where do we begin? Let's begin with the mile race. What, the Queen Elizabeth II Stakes at 3:25? Like, you have some standing dishes in here. Field of Gold, the Irish 2000 Guineas winner. The Lion in Winter was so well touted as a two-year-old. Rosalian won the Irish Guineas last year and the St. James's Palace Stakes as well, but has been a bridesmaid this year. Fallen Angel, she's such a consistent mare.
Your old friend Alakazi.
Yeah, who is coming to himself, and JP Murta knows a good one. Could be a good each-way bet. Factor Cheval has been second in this for the last two seasons. And Never So Brave, Oisin Murphy's mount, attracting a lot of money as we record this on Friday. 16 runners. This is going to be something else.
It's a great race. I don't really see why Field of Gold is 15-8 with Hill, slight 2-1 available as well. I don't really see why he is that big. And obviously he did have a setback when we last saw him at Goodwood, but he was 1-3 that day against Rosalian. So he didn't run his race. An absolute excuse came forward afterwards. But 80 days later, he should be good enough to win this race. If he were a 1-3 shot the last day, I don't know if he's an awful lot more to do if he can show his form. And he was breathtaking, really, at Ascot. I did think he was too short at Goodwood, but he had an absolute excuse afterwards. And Rosalian has obviously been beaten twice since, so you'd imagine that he should have his measure. The Lion of Winter is an interesting horse because it's Christos Soumillon gave an intriguing interview in the Racing Post during the week with Scott Burton, its French correspondent. And Christos Soumillon's actually older than me, even though it's kind of hard to believe that he's around that long, but I think he's like 44 or so, Christoph. So the Aidan O'Brien thing, because Christoph's not attached to anyone, he's able to ride these horses. But it's come to him at a time when he's getting on, I suppose, as a veteran rider, and he's really embracing it. And he gave her an interesting interview in the Race Post, and he was talking up the Lion Winter, who will have a lot going for him at a big price. For all that, I just don't see how he can beat the favourite if the favourite performs Feel of Gold. He's been exceptional, really, this season.
Do you think he's an each-way chance, 14-1? I mean, he's third in a Group 1 at Longchamp last time out, coming to himself a bit more now.
Yeah, I think he's probably had excuses, like the race at Dover the last time prior to that. I'm not exactly sure about that. In Epsom, his season looked like it was derailing. Maybe a mile and a half wasn't ideal for him, but that run at Longchamp was very good, and William Hill paying four places as well, and stable representative in the race with, you'd imagine, with Exactly and January in it. January's a horse that, I mean, I don't know what to make for at this stage. She
bit of a nibble, 66s now.
So what price is Fallen Angel in the race? Fallen Angel sevens. And I will go back to this. This is why I was tipping Exactly really strongly. It's been a frustrating year for me tipping wise, but I was tipping Exactly strongly at Leopardstown because she was 8-5 to beat Fallen Angel at Deauville. Fallen Angel was 11-1 and she travelled all over her. But then when she went along to Leopardstown the next time, the money was for Exactly in the race and she duly beat her. So then she kind of bombed out at Longchamp, but she's a tongue tie on. She's a lot of ability, that horse. Wouldn't be amazed if she ran well.
But it's Never So Brave. I mean, surely the ceiling's going to be hit soon, from winning a handicap to a Group 1 course and distance winner. Oshie Murphy, full of confidence. Obviously, he's going to win the title on Saturday in the UK. But surely it's going to hit a ceiling, this horse. No?
Yeah, I suppose. And Andrew Balding, Improver and all of that. I imagine this will be the ceiling here, but did beat Rosalie in the last day. Exactly was behind on that occasion. And that was a day when Kirat actually was kind of ridden. That was the City of York Stakes, when Kirat was kind of ridden more legitimately than as a stable than a pacemaker. But I imagine he'll come up short.
I think Factor Cheval is the one I'm going to go for each way. Michael Barcelona in form has won the Arc in recent weeks, second the last couple of years, and hasn't run since June, been freshened up for this. Could have an each way chance, 16-1. Do respect folks, Alakazi. Whatever happens on Saturday, do follow this horse. Could be a really good 4-year-old next year. And as you say, Field of Gold. Goodwood did not go to plan, but it's been freshened up again as well, and probably the one to beat.
Yeah, just on Factor Cheval, last year Factor Cheval was an 11-2 shot in the race, yeah, and travelled strongly. Tamfana was just in behind, who reopposes, but well beaten. And in fairness to Sharian, who won the race last year, 13-8 favourite, he wouldn't be 13-8 in this year's renewal, but he's very, very, you know, Sharian was a proper 1 mile solid horse, so you could easily make a case for Factor Cheval. It's a fantastic renewal.
Yeah, so that is the first Group 1 we're looking at Ascot. The second one is the big one of the day, the Champion Stakes, Kipco sponsoring 4:05 at Ascot on Saturday. As we say, good ground there. And is this about three horses? Ombudsman, Delacroix and Calandigan. Is there a winner, first of all, outside of those three?
Probably not, but, you know, I'd be wary at this stage of the season of kind of banking on horses all performing to the best of their ability. And, like, Economics, who was such a brilliant 3-year-old, beating Auguste Rodin at Leopardstown in that pretty epic renewal, I suppose he's a quandary because we haven't seen him since this meeting last year when he was a little bit disappointing.
Didn't lead, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, to be fair, all told, I'd definitely be surprised if it isn't one of the...
There's money for Almeric as we record this. 3 wins from 4, coming off a listed race success, obviously unexposed. A different mountain to tackle here, but money into 14s, Oisin Murphy.
Yeah, like, he's the unexposed horse in the race. He's only had 4 starts, and as much as it was only a listed race at Ayr, he did win very easily the last day, and maybe he's improving. And a mark of 117 gives him a bit of a squeak, but, like, there's one thing, if you think about a senior hurler who's just come up from the minor ranks.
This is like the politics phrase at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Seamus Brennan, senior hurling.
There's a lot of senior hurling in, if you're going for the presidency at the moment, and a lot of people in it who probably haven't played much minor in some respects, out of the race maybe. If that makes sense, JD. But you're taking on, like, this is going into senior bracket, but taking on, like, really, really hardened horses who've, like, Delacroix now has had 1, 2, 3, he's had 6 runs this season, and he's taken on Ombudsman again. You know, he was obviously quite a high-profile absentee from Leopardstown, and that's a big backdrop to this race. Extraordinary comments from Aidan O'Brien to call, you know, saying that John Gosden can whinge a bit after a race. I absolutely love that because, you know,
race needs a bit more of that.
For Aidan O'Brien, who, you know, is kind of, I suppose, almost, he's pigeonholed as this kind of particular person who always says, like, the safe thing and might talk up his horses a bit, maybe hypes him a bit, but that's fine. But would never say anything bad about anyone. And I'm not saying it was bad, but it was a bit of a dig, and it was good because, like, John Gosden would be a lot more, he's a really good talker, John Gosden, and in the media, his interviews are very good. But you know, to say that he wasn't coming to Leopardstown because, you know, why would I go across the IRC and take on a team of 4 horses from the same yard and the same connections and all that? It's a bit like, that's racing, though, to be fair. And it's Leopardstown. It's not like you're running a Chester. You know, Leopardstown's a reasonably fair track. And it took away a lot. I thought it took away a lot from the Champion Stakes because this Ombudsman Delacroix thing has become a bit of a thing this season, in the fact that they were, you know, kind of one all going into it. We had the extraordinary race at Sandown when Delacroix came from an impossible position to beat Ombudsman, who I thought was beaten by lack of a pacemaker that day. And then we had a completely insane event at York when Burr Castle at 150-1 nearly stole it, and certainly Delacroix only beaten by half a length. Now, I would say on that occasion, and Chris Ossumion has kind of defended Delacroix, I thought Delacroix was a bit disappointing then, and even though he did win at Longchamp, or did win at Leopardstown, this is a better race. Ombudsman beat him hands down at York, and I'd be strong that he should beat him again.
So therefore, Calandagan comes into it, doesn't he?
Calandagan comes into it, and he makes it so much more interesting. And Sumion saying in the Racing Post, like, this race has more going for it than the Ark, and I'm paraphrasing. It absolutely does. Like, I know we don't have Minnie Hawk and we don't have the winner, but these are, like, really good mile and two horses. And Calandagan is an incredibly consistent horse, probably the best Glen Eagles out there. Doesn't necessarily find an awful lot for pressure, but, I mean, you can kind of, I could certainly see him beating Delacroix. I'm not sure he'll beat Ombudsman, but he'll be possibly the last horse off the bridle. Brilliant renewal of the race.
I fancy Calandagan.
Why?
Just feel the King George win showed a bit of class. Mm. I know it was over 2 furlongs more.
When he beat Calpana length, though, that ain't going to be good enough here, yeah, in my view.
But, like, narrowly beaten in this race last year on soft ground, and I think from 3-4. I just think he is a bit of a quirky horse, and I think because Barcelona needs to just produce him. And it might not be good enough, but I do feel if there's one, like it's hard to work it out between Ombudsman and Delacroix, so who's the one you're going to look for as an alternative? And that's why I'm looking at Calandagan. I can't see any of the others doing anything.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. Like, it's kind of, you need so much score right for the three of them not to all disappoint.
It's hard to take a position, really. I mean, you're going for Ombudsman here, presumably, are you?
Yeah, I think Ombudsman on the base of York should be. I feel that the Eclipse clash was more down to a mess in tactics. And Delacroix, I wasn't amazed by him at Leopardstown. I just didn't think it was a great race. Even you look at White Birch in behind, well beaten again in the Ark. I didn't think it was a great race. But Sumian's comments, I love this. Like, we have to appreciate this, even if I'm likely not having a bet in the race. But this is a race I really want to watch. He said, on paper, this looks a better race than the Ark. And he says, you can get a fantastic battle when you have 2 champions, and here we have 3 who separate themselves from the rest, though I've never underestimated the other runners. It looks like a titanic race, the kind the fans of the sport love to see. And this is a race, like, this to me jumps racing in the halfpenny place when you have a race like this. It really does. It's just the jockeyship is so much more important as well, because if one of the riders makes a mistake in this race, it'll probably cost him.
It kind of reminds me a bit of, over 20 years ago, as Ertiop, Moscow Flyer, and Well Chief, the 3 big guns. And you have the 3 big guns here.
Best Tingle Creek ever, really, when you think about it. Yeah. One of the best jumps race ever. Just, it always makes me emotional thinking about it.
Yeah. So you're going for Ombudsman.
I'm going for Ombudsman. I'm not sure where Delacroix goes after this. This is his last run. He's going to be a very, very sought after stallion, because his pedigree he's nothing to do with Galileo on pedigree. Tepping the dam by Dubawi. So I imagine this might be his last run, but what a race. I think William Hill's pricing is probably about right.
The Long Distance Cup is the first race on Saturday. Just Trawlerman odds on for that.
Is five runners, really?
Is that fair, Trawlerman to be odds on? Bit of money for Sweet William.
Yeah, I saw one of the striking aspects for me here is five runners in a race like this. I thought that was surprising. I find Trawlerman very hard to oppose. He obviously beat Sweet William readily enough at York. In hindsight, he looked a good bet that day. Because at Ascot, I thought he was exceptional, and he's been given 57 days. It's hard for these stayers. Like, that Ascot race was a grueler, but he rallied in York and won again. And John Gosden and Thady, they haven't, you know, they've kind of probably backed off him a bit here, but he's a very, very hard horse to oppose. I suppose Stay True was kind of the dark one in the race for Christoph Soumillon, behind their up-and-coming stayer, Scandinavia, last time at Doncaster, when Scandinavia was good, and Scandinavia has become a decent stayer, but he'd probably have a lot to find to be Trawlerman.
There's another Group 1 a sprint. We're just kind of glossing over this one, but I think Flora Bermuda is a decent horse and ran well earlier in the season at Goodwood. King Coon, obviously, you probably have your sentimental money on that.
Yeah, King Coon might, just if you weren't aware, God knows I've gone on about enough, but Coon is actually my son's name, and so anything to do with Coon would be like a bit. I'd have a bit of a soft spot just in relation to the name. Coon is the Irish for harbour, and I didn't like, you know, the way, like, it's kind of a big thing among parents. You know, there's this kind of like, oh, look at the parents from the south side calling their kids an Irish name and all of that. I just liked the name Coon, and it wasn't like Sean would have. Sean is his second name after my father, but I said it to when she was pregnant, I said to my missus, I was like, what about Coon? And she said, yeah, I suppose. And then nothing happened anyway. And then several months later, she comes up to me and she goes, I was just talking to my sister there. I think I really like Coon. And I was like, that's my name. So anyway, then this is getting boring now. But we're in the baby's born, right? And I'm looking at him, and we haven't really officially named him yet. So I kept calling him like the little munchkin. And because I couldn't call him Coon because he, the little munchkin. So I actually call him the Munchkin more so than Coon, because that was my name at that precious moment. But King Coon, representing Coon tomorrow, who apparently walked for the first time yesterday, according to my missus, but I was in the Harrell house. I'm going with Montasib, JD. I'm going with Montasib under Kieran Fallon. Very, very likeable horse. In the race last year, and just let me get last year's, Kind of Blue won the race last year, named after possibly the
Miles Davis.
What a record. Like, what a record.
I only listened to it the last week.
Ah.
Freddie Freeloader.
He did win on soft ground last year, but he's not a prisoner of soft ground at all. But Kind of Blue was the record. I'd just come out of college, and my mates were all sort of, they were all like With Nail and Eye type characters, shall we say, without all the madness. But we used to go over and play poker, order a 3-in-1, and like none of us had any money, but we'd play poker and have a beer, and we'd listen to Kind of Blue, and that was the start of my life in Dublin after college.
And what's the song called? So What?
So What, yeah. What a record. Like, it's just,
what is the, probably the one of the,
the jazz record maybe of all time or whatever.
Yeah, one of, definitely up there.
But if you're not on the King Coon buzz, maybe you're on the Miles Davis buzz tomorrow.
Very good. That's the sprint at Ascot. We also have another Group 1. We've gone through the fillies and mares. That's a 2.45. Kalpana, you talked about there. A bit weak in the betting. Estrange, we've seen before. A bit of money for Warda and Kiziziana as well. If I can say that correctly. Kiziziana, I think, is probably a better way of saying it. 7-1 as well. A bit of money as well for Latakia. William Bubik riding the 16-1. Have you got a view on it? Or
Latakia, Latakia, is that a place in Syria, maybe? That's one that, you know, the way a name can, Latakia. In any event, I do actually like one here. This is my William Hill. It's going to be my, giving it away now, but it might be.
Don't give it away.
Might be my charity bet. Bedtime Story. If you were to start the year and you said Aidan O'Brien has this Frankel 3-year-old filly, she's going to take the world by storm. Maybe would have thought it would be Bedtime Story, given her hype. You know, she's out of Mecca's Angel by Frankel. She was a very good 2-year-old, but it wasn't. It was Minnie Hawk. But in any event, if you watch Bedtime Stories run two runs back in the Prix Vermeil over a mile and a half behind Adventure and a very smart horse in Jazora, I really like that run. She missed the start. And there was a no pace on, and she still stayed on into third under a lovely ride from Wayne Lord. And Soumillon rides tomorrow. Soumillon did ride her Longchamp, and I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt on soft ground over a mile and six, just wasn't her thing. So now instead of being 3-1 the last day, she's 12-1 top price of William Hill, in a race that has a really nice setup for her on ground she like, even though I suppose it's been a disappointing campaign for her, but I think this could be her day.
Let's look at Leopardstown then on Saturday and the going yielding there. The Airfield Stakes is a Group 3 for 2-year-olds, 1 mile, 1 furlong, 8 runners. Willie Mullins has got a rare runner in this sphere here.
Absolute banker of the weekend, in my
thread opinion. Of gold.
So there'll be a lot of chat about Field of Gold tomorrow. Thread of Gold, it's funny just looking at the thread of history and JD in relation to this horse. 100,000 guineas foal, went to the sales as a yearling, and the vendor essentially bought it back for 40 grand. So what I don't know what happened between the horse as a foal was well liked, was bought by, was it the Doyles? The Doyles bought it at the end of just over nearly 2 years ago for 100,000 guineas, which for a horse by Gaet, who's just a stallion just starting off, that would have been a good bit of money. Obviously, the Doyles, Peter and Ross Doyle, would be very well regarded, like the horse. For some reason, then, as a yearling, just didn't happen. The horse starts off then in the Curra as an 11-1 chance in the colours of Jackie Mullins, and often people would imply that, well, sure, Willie can't sell the horse, why is it running in Jackie's colours, whether that's true or not at all. 11-1, gelded and bolts up, like really, really good under Joey Sheridan. He was waiting for an out, just couldn't get out, eventually got out. And you might notice in that race, Joseph had a newcomer by the name of Neil Bua Gandua, which is, there's no victory without, and I forgot to check what Dua is, but I'm sure there are people listening in. Ran again then the last day at Leopardstown, Neil Bua Gandua, but this horse just went whoosh, zoomed on by and looks very, very smart.
2-1, Thread of Gold.
I'd make it favourite.
Piazza San Marco is the favourite, 7-4, because of the connections. It's Aidan O'Brien, won nicely at Galway in a maiden over 8.5.
Yeah, and beat Acclimatic, who was third, won at the Curra yesterday in what. Well, I could be wrong on this, but I would imagine the Leopardstown race was a lot stronger than that Curra race, and the form, as much as Acclimatic won, horses have come out of that race and been beaten since. I don't think that was the strongest race in Galway. Now, he did win well, but it was a way better effort than the debut. And Thread of Gold has had one start, not two, and that makes a big difference to me. I would definitely have him favourite.
He's another 2 furlongs to go, not a concern.
No, it might bring Neil Bua Gandua a bit closer. I think he's an interesting horse.
I think he could be the each way play of the race. He's like 14-1.
Yeah,
he ran behind. I put into the colours.
Well, what was interesting, JD, was they put him into the Group Two on Champions Weekend when he wasn't really entitled to. You know, he was beaten in a maiden first time out, and that race Benevento Cellini kind of kicked on in the straight. In Montreal was scratched, but it was still a decent renewal. And Neil Bua Gandua was kind of he was caught flat footed, but stayed on. Big thing for him will be stepping up in trip to a mile and one. But Thread of Gold just brushed him aside on debut, and I think he's a half brother to a mile and a half horse, so he should be no problem getting the trip. I would make him favourite. I'd be fairly hopeful if I get one thing right this weekend, he will go off favourite.
A Killavullen Stakes, 4.20 at Leopardstown, Group 3, 7 furlongs, 5 runners here. Like Dorset won the Goff's Million. Yopon de Replay, 150 grand purchase in the Isaac Swade and Simon Munier colours. Won on debut at 20-1 at Ferry House in a listed race over 6 furlongs, but they might be going much higher with her. So is it between the two of them, or is there another one?
I understand that Chris Hayes rode Yopon de Replay on debut, who Kevin Blake is involved.
They're both 9-4 shots.
Yeah, Kevin Blake's involved in this horse. Now, this was a tricky one. William Hill has this price. Some others have a price. Well, this is a tricky one to price because the two O'Brien runners in the race have no strands of form to put them together. And Spangle Sands had 3 starts in maiden and won well the last day. But Declan McDonough, I don't think Declan McDonough had the choice. I think the owners of the filly were just like, sure, we'll stick with Chris Hayes because he rode it the last day. But Spangle Sands was very, very impressive in winning at the Curra. Aidan O'Brien had a horse in third on that occasion. White Sand Beach had run very well first time. What I liked about Spangle Sands, JD, was White Sand Beach was sort of putting him under pressure a long way out. And Dylan Brown McMonagall, like, you could just see from his hands, I've gotten this covered, everything will be fine. Really, really stretched out well. And after the race, Joseph Bryan said he's going to go to the Killavullen afterwards. And I'd be very sweet on him at the price now at 9-2. There is a bit better available elsewhere. I just want to mention as well, Mark Clayton has been appointed the CEO of Leopardstown, which was announced yesterday.
He's coming from Southall.
Yeah, he's an interesting pedigree. He's worked at the Arc Track. So I did a bit of digging at Racing TV. I was like, what's this guy like? And basically the reply was, because, you know, he's been working at Arc Tracks, we wouldn't deal with him, but he seems to be a good guy or whatever. But he was at Doncaster before that, 12 years at Southall. But Mark seems to have a decent CV. Like, Leopardstown's flat image has to get back to somewhere like it was at. Like, that's a cracking card tomorrow. If you go there, you can watch all the other sports. It's our only racetrack in Dublin. After Baldoyle is gone, the Phoenix Park is gone, it's our only racetrack in Dublin. And the flat really needs to get back to the place it is, particularly the summer evening meetings, because it's died a death really in recent years. It's sad to see, and best of luck to Mark in his new role.
Yeah, and obviously Christmas is doing flying, so it might be a Jumps flat thing.
Christmas is, and the Dublin Racing Festival, sorry, it's not a Jumps problem, but that doesn't mean you just say, okay, everything's fine with the flat. Like, there are some racetracks, like Galway will be accused at times of concentrating entirely on the festival at the expense of the other meets. Like, you should, in my view, every meeting you have as a racetrack, maybe with the exception of Dundalk, but every meeting you had, you have to target people to go to that and target a crowd to get there, because every meeting is special.
Okay, the Munster National on Sunday in honour of JT McNamara, the late great jockey, 4:15, 16 runners, good ground. Talking to Park is interesting here. Now,
there's something really baffling about this race, Shitty, and I haven't been able to get an answer to it. Why is Paul Townend riding Arctic Fly and not You Ought to Know? This makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Well, my notes here about You Ought to Know are that fell one favour for the Kerry National, but is he going to stay?
But he was 9-2 in Listowel, and he fell at the 10th.
Yeah,
I'm here to remind you. You get the Alanis Morissette reference.
Never was there really an Alanis Morissette fan. No,
her iconic debut album. Just, you ought to know. I think is named after after Alanis Morissette's number. But he switched to Arctic Fly, who was 22-1 and pulled up in the same race. I cannot. There's obviously a story behind this. Maybe it's to do with the owner wanting Paul on, or the owner wanting whatever it is. I don't know what it is. It makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah, just maybe dig into Arctic Fly's history here, because
Paul has been riding him.
Yeah,
and he hardly got off and said, "Oh, I'm after falling off him. I don't want to ride him again." I wouldn't have. Paul was brilliant on him in Wexford. Well, he was, the horse is very good that day. But I just can't figure it out.
Let's just put him lying through Arctic Fly's last run.
Yeah.
Like, he's been running over shorter distances.
Yes.
Paul Townend won on him in August last year. It was only over 2 miles.
Finished second on him in Galway to a spur of the moment
Once again, only opposes 2 miles, 2 furlongs, as favourite. So, look, it could be an excuse at home. The horse just might have had a bad day. Maybe they're giving him another chance. It's the ones down the bottom that interest me. So there's the Mark Walsh in the green and gold, is obviously pride of place, progressive type, got a nice wage, gets the trip, comfortable winner at Listowel last time, has to be considered for Andrew Bulger. And Talk in the Park won a handicap hurdle on decent ground at Galway last year, has tuned up for this with eye-catching runs over fences at Galway and Listowel. I don't know much about the jockey, 7-pound claimer Michael Keneally.
Flying it. He's no background in racing, and he just turned conditional not that long ago. Absolutely flying it. Like, he's this is a massive, massive ride for him at this stage.
10-2, Munster National, Ross Sullivan. And then Mark Walsh, 10-7 on Pride of Place. I mean, they're the two I want to be looking at.
Jockey bookings are, I'm absolutely baffled by that. But you also have French Dynamite, who was ridden by Gary Noonan on stable debut in the same race when finishing third. I tipped him up. And then you have We've All Been Caught, ridden by Sean Flanagan, who we did the William Hill with, how long ago was that, JD? Last year?
Earlier this year, was it? Was it last year?
Sean Flanagan, as a freelancer, has done very, very well. And you'd imagine he's on the stable pick. And We've Been Caught was also on stable debut at Listowel, but in a much weaker race, sent off favour, ran quite well. Now, just the one thing that would worry me a bit about French Dynamite is that... I didn't necessarily think he was in love with the 3 miles at
Look, he's got
stall.
3 wins and 25 chase starts. And he's got too much weight for me.
But Mouse Morris horses were very in and out the last few years. So I thought on Stables, which Eric McNamara's horses have been flying it. He did run well at Listowel. He was beaten 11 lengths, and that was a race in which a lot happened, including You Ought to Know falling. So I didn't think he was in love with the 3 miles there. So I find this race tricky, and I'm working at the track on Sunday, so without trying to bottle this, I actually really want to study it a bit longer than the time.
I'll give you my notes.
Give me your notes and tell me why. I'm here to remind you that Paul Townend is not riding You Ought to Know. I can't make sense of it.
Yeah, a spur of the moment will need to jump better, but a lightly raised sort for an informed Gavin Cromwell Yard has won over the distance. A case we made. You've got to think of the low weights in this.
Yeah.
Again, Excelsior Deo can't have it. Boston Rover is on a, you know, he's just reeled off a hat trick. So, like, Jack Kennedy runs on him. So you think he might have claims, but I think you're looking at the horses down the bottom.
The horse you tip Pride of Place, like, it would be...
I've tipped up Talk of the Park's my tip, but sorry, Pride of Place is my NB.
If you're, in terms of horse's profile, like, he was running in fairly run-of-the-mill handicaps, and he beat Walking Time at Tipperary off 101, and has won one since. If you could go from 100 rated to winning this, this is a proper handicap, that'd be great training from Minda Bulger. Trains locally. I'm staying down in Limerick for the two meetings, so I'm looking forward to it. And Enda Bulger is strongly represented in the race, local trainer.
You ought to know, might not just be a stayer, that may be the thing with him.
It's definitely possible. Like, he was favourite over 2.7 at Tipperary, and I'm not sure about him getting 3 miles,
yeah,
but
maybe that's the reason.
And Arctic Fly has been backed because of the jockey bookings.
Yeah.
But William Hill was probably initially 20s, but as you would be, and paying five places on the race.
We have Alex Dunn from William Hill on the line. How are you, Alex?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Looking forward to, well, quite an incredible weekend, isn't it, of racing?
What are you looking forward to most, Alex?
I've got to say I'm looking forward to, well, Ascot, of course, but in particular the sprint division at Ascot, the champion sprint, purely because we've got so many... Well, it feels like the sprinters have sort of handed it round this season. It's been a case of you win one and then I'll win one and then we'll see what happens. I actually think that the market principles, and we'll get to them shortly, I think they've got a really good chance this time around. And I'm also, of course, looking forward to the QE2 and the Champion Stakes. The Champion Stakes is, I think, one of the best races that we'll see this year, purely because we've got so many stories now and runners who are coming up against one another for the second or third or fourth time this season. And there are one or two at big prices as well that I think could play a part. But yeah, it is one of those weekends where you just sort of sit back and enjoy, don't you?
The sprint then, Montasib is Johnny's pick. I like Flora of Bermuda. What's attracting the money then, Alex, in that one? That's a 2:05 at Ascot Saturday.
Yeah, I like Flora of Bermuda as well, for what it's worth. Lazart is the most popular one as we speak, 4-1 at the head of affairs, and is one of the worst results in the book, actually, for us here at William Hill across the course of the whole card as things stand. That may, of course, change. But 5-1 for Big Mojo. Montasib's in there at 11-2. Was 6-1 just a moment ago, actually, so has been trimmed in. Someone's listening. 13-2 for Kind of Blue. Flora of Bermuda is 10. It's bigger prices the rest. 4 places on offer each way as well. But again, it is one of those races where you've just got the right horses in the right place. And as I alluded to, the sprint division has not been stellar this year. We don't have a standout performer, but I actually think that makes it a lot more entertaining to watch. Not necessarily easy to find the winner, but it is one of those races that you can go, okay, who's it going to be this time? And I do think Lazart's a worthy favourite.
What about Field of Gold then in this Queen Elizabeth II Stakes, 3:25 Ascot on Saturday? Strong week in the middle. What's the tea like for Field of Gold?
Strong earlier in the week, a little weak as we get closer to race time. I don't know what to make of Field of Gold now. I thought we were looking at not maybe the second coming, but something close to. And then so disappointing last time out. So 15-8 currently at the head of affairs has got to bounce back. The issue I have is, if not Field of Gold, it's a stacked field, but I don't know which one I actually want to back, because Rosalian is a horse that I absolutely adored last season. But I just worry, does he want to win races anymore? He's not chucking it away, but at the same time, you can't look at those figures and not be a little concerned that he keeps finding one too good. Fallen Angel has been backed, is now 13-2, and is clearly arriving here in good form. But, I mean, how far down do you want to go down the card? You can make cases for a lot of them. It's just one of those races. But, yeah, Rosalian's the one that the traders are trying to take on, really. But punters, currently, not all that interested.
If you'd a pound each way on something there, free bet there, Alex, what would you pick?
I would go at a bit of a price, Docklands, 12-1, with the course form in the book. Tom Marcond on board has been freshened up for this. Course form at Ascot is invaluable, and I know that you can look at a lot of those towards the head of affairs and go, well, they have won here. But Docklands really does like it here. And with question marks, I think, over those at the head of affairs, that's probably the way that I'd go.
Do we see then the big one, the Champion Stakes, the 405 at Ascot, the Kitco-sponsored race, as a three-horse race in the market? Ombudsman, who Johnny likes, Callanaghan, who I like, and Delacroix, the Eclipse winner.
I think the betting would suggest that that is the case. There was a little bit of money earlier in the day for Al Merrick, who's been cut, 20s into 12s. He's going to have to improve again, but is at least progressive. But yeah, Ombudsman's 15-8, 5-2 Callanaghan, Delacroix 4-1. I am surprised that Delacroix is so weak right now, but I completely respect why that could be the case, and it might not be anything to do with Delacroix. It could just be the fact that the other two at the head of affairs are bona fide top quality horses. 15-8 for Ombudsman now, though. What I would say is, you may have to play devil's advocate a little bit with this, but it's 100-1 for the pacemaker, devil's advocate. And we've seen it so many times this season. Honestly, this horse has got loads to find. But we've seen it in other big races. We almost saw it with Ombudsman against Delacroix at York when Burcastle got let loose. I mean, Burcastle, I think, scraped home in a listed race after that. I'm not suggesting devil's advocate has a chance on form, but at 100-1, you could probably do worse than back something that you know is going to be four or five lengths clear turning in. That might be as exciting as it gets, though.
Yeah, it's been a year where the whole question of the pacemaker has definitely come to the fore again. But I suppose you'll have to play devil's advocate. I've mixed views on pacemakers, but surely not again. Surely not again, JD.
Well, imagine that you had the money. Was it Kirat? Was that the horse?
The one at 150s. Yeah, I think that the thing about that Kirat race is feel of gold.
But imagine you had the money on.
Yeah, but you see, This is the thing. Like, a pacemaker is theoretically sacrificing his chance, not enhancing his chance. And ultimately, that, like, I made the point, if you backed Rosalian that day, you're like, how can Rosalian be 11-2 and Feel a Goal be 1-3? And then you're beaten by the pacemaker. And I think
the democracy of racing is great. I'd rather that happen than you maybe question what's going on.
I think William Hill might be. I just think William Hill might be right taking on Rosalian because he's had his chances. But pacemakers, I have mixed views on. I've changed my mind, JD, by the way, with the charity bet. I'm going to go for a double and be a little bit a bit adventurous.
Just before we get to that, you've priced up some of the Irish meetings as well. I know it's probably early for markets to form, Alex, but anything at Leopardstown or the Munster National that we should know about?
Yeah, a few movers at Leopardstown. Piazza San Marco is now favourite for the 3:15 on Sunday, and that wasn't the case when the market opened. Thread of Gold was for Willie Mullins, who is a fascinating runner and has actually contracted in price as well, but not as much as Piazza San Marco. So Aidan O'Brien's got the favourite for that one, which maybe we're not too surprised about. And also one that I thought was interesting, in the Killavullen Stakes, the 4:20, Mumhan is the outsider, yes, of the Holt field. And he's going to remain the outside of the field, I would imagine, but he's already 14s into 10s. And when you see, as you mentioned there, Jim Bolger trains, 1-1, I would be wary of laying Mumhan at big prices here. So the traders have taken that view as well, evidently. Look, Aidan O'Brien's got two in the race. Joseph's got two. It's probably going to go the O'Briens, but rule out a Jim Bolger horse at your peril. And you mentioned the Munster National there as well,
yeah,
by the way.
Yes.
I mean, that's so open. 6-1 the field currently. Boston Rover, a spur of the moment, and You Ought to Know. I, like you, I don't know why Paul Townend isn't riding You Ought to Know, but they know more than me. What I would say is Boston Rover's partnered by Jack Kennedy. Jack is riding in America on Saturday night, so he'll be hot-footing it back. It's the US Grand National. So he's out there riding Zanna here for Gordon Elliott.
That's interesting.
So he's going to be straight back and riding there. I think he's got three rides. So the fact that he's here at all might be notable. could be.
On Moon as well, he's a brilliant pedigree, and as a yearling, 30 grand couldn't be sold. The vendor had to buy him back, which kind of put me off him on debut. The one worry I would have, I've monitored that form that of the Curragh, the second and third both beaten since.
Alex Dunn from William Hill, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Alex Dunn there on the line. And to finish the show, we have a charity bet, Johnny Ward. I believe you're going to go for an each-way double this week. What are you going to do?
Love each-way doubles. The problem with them being, obviously, you may lose the bet, but the problem is that if non-runners come into it, it kills it, or certainly makes it less of a bet. But 38-1 is the price on the win, and 16-5 is the price on the place double. And the two horses are A Bedtime Story.
In the 2:45 at Ascot on Saturday.
And Thread of Gold in the 3:15 at Leopardstown. So your quid's in if they both place, but I'm hopeful of more than that. But yeah.
Okay, 25 each way, Johnny's each way double for the charity bet this week on the Racing Pod. 2:45 Ascot on Saturday, Bedtime Story number 8 for Aidan O'Brien, and then 3:15 Leopardstown Saturday, Thread of Gold, trained by Willie Mullins. That's the Racing Pod for this week. We'll chat soon.
The Racing Pod.
On Off the Ball.
With William Hill. 18+. See gamblingcare.ie.